Welcome back to All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. Our next story takes place in Palestine. Militants are carrying out acts of terrorism, setting off bombs, and killing innocent bystanders in their struggle for an independent homeland. They're trying to end an occupation. It all sounds familiar, but the year I'm talking about is 1947, and the terrorists described are fighting for a Jewish national state and fighting to end British rule. This is the setting for a new book called Major Farron's Hat by British historian David Cesarani. He spent years waiting for key archives in Britain to be declassified, and his story revisits a long-forgotten murder which, he argues, helped lay the groundwork for the creation of the State of Israel. In 1947, the Second World War was over, but the British were still in control of Palestine.
To the British, Palestine was a small but strategically important piece of real estate in the Middle East. The trouble was, the Jews in Palestine, in fact, the Jews around the world, had been led to believe that Palestine was going to become a Jewish homeland. There were tens of thousands of survivors of the ghettos and the death camps, desperate to go to the land they believed had been pledged to them by the British government in 1917 and the Balfour Declaration. But that very same British government was much more eager to appease the newly emergent Arab states, which were, of course, sitting on top of a lot of oil. But the Foreign Secretary, Ernest Bevin, set his mind against permitting Jewish immigration. And that triggered a revolt within the Jewish population of Palestine. Underground armies began to wreak havoc on the British occupation forces and made the life of the British absolutely miserable.
So the British had to figure out what to do. I mean, they had an insurgency on their hands. And as you point out, from the highest levels, they decide to send in a man named Major Roy Farron to sort of take charge of a counterterrorism unit. Tell us a little bit about him and his mission.
Roy Farron was one of the most highly decorated officers in the British Army. He was a warrior born and bred. He came from military background. And I think that the years of military service had, in a way, brutalized him. He had developed a kind of messiah complex that he believed he was right and that he could solve problems with a swift, if brutal, action.
Now Major Roy Farron is, of course, the central character. But the central narrative is the disappearance and apparent murder of a 16-year-old boy. He was last seen passing out pamphlets on a Jerusalem street in May of 1947. His name was Alexander Rubovitz. Who was he, and what happens to him?
Alexander Rubovitz was typical of a generation of youngsters who grew up in the shadow of the British occupation, who believed that the Jewish people in Europe had been betrayed and had been massacred, and who were desperate to create a Jewish state. On the 6th of May, 1947, one of Farron's units spotted Alexander Rubovitz moving through Rojavia. It's a classy neighborhood of Jerusalem full of leafy boulevards overlooked by apartment buildings with balconies. And a woman who was standing on the balcony saw a young lad being wrestled to the ground and then dragged into the back of the kind of car used by the British Army and the police. The door slammed shut, the car drove off, and Rubovitz was never seen again.
And the evidence eventually points to Major Farron. A hat was found on the scene.
Kids who were playing nearby saw a hat lying in the road. They took the hat to a police station and it was sent for forensic examination. And written in ink on the sweatband was the name Farron. And when that information was leaked to the press, all hell broke loose, because it didn't take the press very long to find their way to Roy Farron and his police squads.
The disappearance of Alexander Rubovitz unleashes all kinds of reprisals, terrorist reprisals. One of the groups that manages to send letter bombs to members of parliament in Britain. They even invent a coat lined with explosives.
The Jewish terrorists operating out of Palestine, it has to be said, were probably the first international terrorists of the modern era, and they pioneered many of the same techniques, letter bombs, improvised explosive devices. they terrified the British because they managed to get bomb makers into the United Kingdom. They penetrated what we would now call homeland security.
There was a backlash to this in 1946, 1947 in Britain.
Yeah, just a couple of years after the liberation of the concentration camps by the British Army, by the American Army, there are mobs rampaging through British streets, attacking synagogues, desecrating cemeteries. The British fascist movement makes a comeback on the strength of the deep resentment felt by British people who couldn't understand why. So recently, after British servicemen and servicewomen had given their all to liberate Europe, to liberate Jews from Nazi tyranny, the Jews were now attacking the British forces in Palestine. They just couldn't get their heads around the urgent desire, the need that the Jewish people felt to have their own state. All they felt was bitterness and anger that the Jews were biting the hand that had saved them.
And Major Roy Farron personifies that anger. He confesses to having kidnapped Alexander Rubowitz. He then flees Palestine to escape prosecution. He eventually is returned and court-martialed.
The trial of Roy Farron was an absolute farce. All of the crucial evidence, except for the hat, was withheld, and Roy's solicitor pointed out that the hat was circumstantial evidence at best. Roy got off. And when he was pronounced innocent by the court, the Jewish community in Palestine was spitting fury. In their eyes, this helped to strip whatever legitimacy remained from British rule in Palestine. I think there were many straws that broke the back of the British camel. But I think the abduction of Rubowitz was one of the most emotive. It touched a raw nerve. And with Jews all around the world and sympathisers ranged against them, the British threw in the towel. The United Nations debated the issue, and as we now know, they voted for a Jewish state to be created.
I'm wondering if your book offers hope for the future of Israel and Palestine. I mean, after all, your book is largely about Jewish groups that were terrorist groups, eventually absorbed into a democratic system. Are there parallels?
Well, one of the things that drew me to the subject was the wave of anti-Muslim feeling in Britain after 9/11, after the bombings on the London Underground. I wanted to see how the British people had reacted to Jewish terrorism after the Second World War. And there were many depressing similarities. In the same way that there's been a surge of Islamophobia, there was a surge of anti-Semitism in response to Jewish terrorist attacks. But I think there's a message of hope in the story of Roy Farron and the tragedy of Alexander Rubowitz. I would like to think that Muslims, Jews, Christians will be able to live together peacefully in the way that the Jews and the British in the end managed to bury the hatchet.
That's Professor David Cesarani. He teaches history at the University of London. His new book is called Major Farron's Hat. Professor Cesarani, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much.
And you can read an excerpt from Major Farron's Hat at thenewnpr.org.